You're on.
It says REC in
the... Yes, yes.
It's a nerve-wracking business starting this class. This year is in memory of Mel David's dear wife Sylvia. Sylvia Chaya has started a letter show. I want you to know that sometimes, most of the time, maybe even all the time, when I say I'm going to give a second part of this year I do it. This is the second part to a previous year. You need know nothing about the previous year in order to appreciate this one. So don't get yourselves tuned out because you didn't hear part one. Whatever you know of part one, I'm going to tell you right now. 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, the Shear established a principle based on the Malbim. The Malbim at the beginning of Parashat Terumah says, why does God say to the Jewish people, V'yikru li Terumah, they shall take unto me Terumah? Why doesn't it say, V'yikru li, they should give me Terumah? So the Malbim says, if it would have said Yitnu, they shall give donations to the Mishkan, it would have meant that every Jew is obligated. God didn't want anybody to feel obligated. He wanted to give the Jewish people the opportunity to do something completely as a result of their own choice, their own will. They do it. Their hearts will move them. No coercion whatsoever. They don't have to do it. They need to do it because they want to do it. From this, we went on to say that not every value that is fundamental to Yahadut has to be an obligatory mitzvah. Not everything has to be you must do. There are areas of Torah where they are open to choice. And we quoted then the Silat Yisharim who says that a son or a daughter nearly instinctively knows what a mother or a father wants. They don't have to tell them, give me a glaze of the tape. They don't. All a parent has to do is sort of hint, even without a hint. A truly good child knows exactly what the Tata wants. The Rishon also, in the vastness of Torah, he imparted values. And we have to, they may not have to be done because we are commanded to do so, but you do it because it's obvious that that's what God wants. We dealt with one mitzvah in that last year, and that was the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam doesn't list the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. He says, why? So I'm saying that it's so obvious. Look through all of Torah and you'll see it. Everything centers around Eretz Yisrael. It's obvious that it's God's will. We learned the pasuk in Tehillim. God says, Po en shev ki ivi piha. This is the place where I live because I decided to live here. If the conversion wants to live here, well, you know, I think that's pretty good. And as Rabbi Simcha Kohenet Vinsk writes, look at every parasha in Torah, and you'll see that every parasha in Torah talks about Eretz Yisrael. It's a basic and fundamental. It's a great value of Torah. But yesterday my wife showed me, we get all these throwaway advertisement booklets, I should not say throw away, they didn't want you to throw it away, they didn't want you to read every page. And she shows me a page with a big ad, moving back to America. They're having a seminar for people moving back to America. Shame kicking the eyes in Yerushalayim, there's a seminar for people moving back to America. You know, that's what they tell you. You know, you better start downsizing from 220 to 110. You understand? You better sell all of your appliances and get rid of all of your benefits and your schmatas and the hair, and then you'll go to the east side or to 13th Avenue and Borough Park, and you can start life all over again in the Golden Adina. Well, as far as we're concerned, this is the Golden Adina, right here. So that was the mitzvah we dealt with in the last year. We're going to deal with a number of other mitzvahs today, but just one thing, I did not set up the sources, it gets very confusing. So go to the second page, the top paragraph, number four. This is a paragraph that's at the end of an article that was written by Eitan Henkin, Hashem Yikom Tamahu. One of the first victims of the present intifada were a couple of unusual people, exceptional, Eitan and Na'ama Henkin. Hashem Yikom Tamahu. I have been learning, who's 30 years old. He left a tremendous legacy of Torah writings, unbelievable. He was brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So here, he has an article on is living in Eretz Yisrael a mitzvah midoraita, in our Torah, is it midrabanan? So this is the last paragraph. Me'eva labirur, beyond having clarified the issue of what kind of a mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael is, yesh lahodot, we have to agree, she'en hadat nochema ha'maskana sh'atitzvahim et rabbanan. He arrives at a conclusion, quite surprising conclusion, that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is a rabbinic mitzvah. Despite the fact that there are many, many Rishonim and Gedolei HaPosim in the world, it's been our Torah, according to the Chazon Ish, the Rambam, the Ramban, many others. But he arrives at this surprising conclusion. So he says, beyond that, Ki bevadai roi she'inyan kol merkazit b'mikra u'bekarot am Yisrael ki yishuv haaretz yeh mitzvah na Torah. Certainly, it would be correct that something that is so central, the mikra in Tanakh, ubekorot am Yisrael, something so central to the history of the Jewish people, like Yishuv Haaretz, central to all of Jewish history, should be mitzvah Torah. In kein poskim halacha al basus masher roil, he says, even though. I'm not sure that I agree with him here. He says, even though you don't pass him on the basis of how things should be, but watch what he says. Well, I shall hasbir sha Torah lo ratat sorech lehorot the mitzvah machicha al Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I think he's saying what Gold is saying. Some a mitzvah like this, the Torah didn't see it as necessary to make it a mitzvah that's obligatory, machricha. Ki kishem sh'odom bori ochel v'yoshem b'chol yom, just like a healthy person eats and sleeps every day. V'ein ha'torah mitzavo tol kach. And the Torah doesn't command to do that. There is absolute no command. You don't want to shluf? Shlufish. Filsish esmen, espesh. Torah doesn't come in. Kach gam umo bria, so too a healthy nation. V'adam metukan Yisrael, and a person who's properly part of the Jewish people, shoeif liyot ba'aretz, longs and yearns to be in his land, u'benachalat avotav, and the inheritance of his fathers, v'ein tzorech l'tzavoto al kach. You don't have to command. There doesn't have to be a mitzvah. Does that mean? My sunglasses, they can stay right there. I won't need them until after the show. Right. Basically, he's saying the same thing that we've been saying. There's no need that there should be a mitzvah, but I went one step further. What I said was, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik, it is intended not to be a mitzvah. Because by virtue of the fact that it's not a mitzvah, I am left the freedom to choose to do it out of my own free will. Just as God wanted that the Mishkan should not be something obligatory, but Jews should be given the opportunity to express their willingness, knowing that God wants them to build a Mishkan, they should use their free will and go ahead and do it. One of the questions that we asked that previous year was, wasn't the Rebbeinu taking a chance? No command to, there's no command to bring donations. What happens if the campaign is going to end up being one big flop? You know what? The Rebbeinu has a lot of things to worry about. He was not worried about that. Now we can go back to the beginning of this year. Number one, a number of psukim in Parashat Vayakhel. Take a look at what happened. I'm going to read quickly. Vayetzu kol adat pnei Yisrael v'lifnei Moshe, the entire congregation of the children of Israel went out from before Moshe. They left his presence. What had he told them there? No, this week said it. He told them that we're building a Mishkan, and he gave them a list of all of the materials that are necessary in order to build the Mishkan. Now watch what happens. Watch what happens. It's the kind of parasha that you have to read it and begin to feel the sense of excitement. Excitement, joy, exhilaration, exuberance, activity. A whole people goes into high gear. Vayovo, kol ish, they came. Every man, asher nesol libo, whose heart had moved, they all came. In the parasha, it will say 14 times they came. When a word is repeated that often, do you know what's being described by the Torah? This is a mass movement of the Jewish people, and they estutzich of Tishin and of Bank. We're talking about an entire people rallying around to get this Mishkan built. There's an excitement. You have to feel it in the air. And the Torah describes it. They all came. Hashem saw Libo's heart moved him. V'chol Hashem not v'ruho. Anyone whose spirit moved him. Heviu. They brought Trumat Hashem. They brought the donation to God. L'melechet Ohel Moed. In order to be able to do the work of the tent of meeting. U'v'chol Ohel Moed. For whatever was necessary. U'l'pik the HaKodesh in order to make the holy garments. V'yavog. Al-Hanoshim, Al-Hanoshim, men and women, they came. Kol Nidivlei, who are they? Everyone whose heart donated, whose heart moved them. They brought Chach, Bonezer, the Tabaz, the Chumah, Kol Kleizah. Chaynish, what they're bringing, the most intimate pieces of jewelry they bring. V'chol ish hasher hinif tufar zahav Hashem. V'chol ish hasher nimtzi to any person who had tchelet or agama to la'ar shani, sheish, isen, or esilin, or es choshen, hey v'yil! Everybody had any one of those items they're bringing. And there it is, I imagine that there must have been some spot over there, everything was piling up, and they became looking. Gosh, this stuff is piling, It's unbelievable. Kol medim tumas kesef in the koshes. Hey, veal! They brought tumas Hashem. V'chol Hashem nimzo to anybody who had not say sheet, you understand? You know, it's amazing. But these Jews went down to Mitzrayim with it. Understand? You took out, I'd say, shittim, you know, lumber. Took lumber with you. I'd say shittim. And what else? To Chayshis, I'd say shittim. L'chom ha'echas ha'vela. Hey, viru. Nachamo. They brought. V'chol isho chach maslein. B'yodeh tov. Not only did they bring, they also brought their talents. Those who knew how to sew, how to embroider, they brought everything by your veal. Matvet, Atel, and Argon, and Tel, hey veal, Vanasian, hey veal. The princes of the tribe, they brought the Avnei Asham. Another two times over there, the Havi, and you know what happened? It reached a point where Moshe Rabbeinu had to send out make an announcement in the midbar. Stop! Give it up! The Dovashim wasn't taking any chances because he knew exactly what was going to happen, and this is exactly what he wanted. Because it's not a matter of God knowing the Jews have the ability to do a job and do it from their free will and do it with dignity, with beauty. What he really wanted was that Jews should all of a sudden look around and take a look at themselves and say, take a look at what we are capable of doing. And Jews have been donors and donators since that time. We have it in us. Alright? So that means that what the Malbim said, that God wanted that it should be an act of free will, nobody should be coerced, it worked. It worked. Okay. Turn over that page. Second side of the first page. I'm going to take you to the last chapter of Divrei Hayomim 1, Chronicles 1. The last chapter is chapter 29. And you know what's happening over here? A repeat. David HaMelech has purchased the Temple Mount. Temple Mount, Arazda HaYivusi, and David knows, he's been told by God that he will not build the Beit HaMikdash. It is his son after him, Shlomo, who's going to build it. But you know what David HaMelech is going to do? He's going to prepare every last thing that is possible for him to prepare in advance. And he calls upon the Jewish people to donate to the Beit HaMikdash. And we have a repeat story over here. And there's going to be, you're going to get another shtickl benefit over here from, we're going to read a little bit of this 29th chapter. Vayitnatvu, Sarei Havos, then the leaders of the fathers' houses, and the leaders of the tribes of Israel, and the leaders of the of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers of the king's property, offered donations, all of these people, offered donations. So the first pasuk that we just learned said Vayitnatvu, they donated. And now what's going to begin is Vayitnu, they gave. La'avodat Beit HaLokim, for the work of the house of God. Zavov ki, Chedesh, how much gold and how much silver and bars of gold, bars of gold, of silver, and metal, and Vahaninsaito, avoiding somebody who had precious stones, not know they gave. Here, instead of the word heviu, the word that's used throughout is yidnu, giving, giving, giving. Le'otzar beit Hashem, ayad yechil, hagir goshi, hagir shuni, I'm sorry, it was bad to say. Hagir shuni, from the family of Gershom. Vayishmachu ha'om al hidnatvam. That's exactly what David wanted, and that's exactly what God wanted. They were happy with themselves that they donated. Yeah? They weren't donating with a sour face, I have no choice, I have no play left. You know, they forced me, I forgive, to the yeshiva, to Isra. They were happy. Keep a lay, shalem, hit, now, because with their whole hearts, they donated to God. The Gamdar HaMelech Samach Simcha Gedola. David HaMelech had a very difficult life. He went from crisis to crisis. And here we're talking at the end of his life, it says, Samach Simcha Gedola. Samach Simcha Gedola. Unbelievable. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to bless the people. And this is the last blessing. You may notice that this blessing appears in our daily davening. We say it every day. It may very well be that the daily davening, or that section of the davening right before Oz Yosher, will have a great deal more meaning for you when you know, number one, that it's Dovra Melech's last blessing to his people, and what inspires that last blessing is the great joy that Jews have acted of their own free will. Unbelievable. David blessed God in the eyes of all of the congregation, and he said, my David said, Baruch Ator Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Avinu Me'ilam Vadon, blessed are you, the God of Israel, our Father, for all eternity. Everything in heaven and earth, it's all yours. L'chashem amlocha, kingdom is yours. Nasei l'chol rosh, you rise above all. V'hoshem ha'kavod l'chamecha. Wealth and honor is yours. V'atamu shel b'kol, you rule over everything. U'miyotcha, u'biyotcha koach u'bura. U'biyotcha l'gadeh l'chazek l'kol. Ah, you have it all. And now we praise you. Number three. This is going to be, in the number three, we're going to have a passage that appears a little further in that last chapter 29 of Divrei Hayamim. And this comes from the classic Sefer of Ethics, the Mesilat Yesharim, that was written by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Classic of all times. The David. What he's doing, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato was describing the chassid, the really pious individual. He describes the really pious individual as the one who goes beyond that which is required. The one who does because he realizes what God's will is and how God wants man to act, and he acts in that way. That's the chassid. The chassid does not have to be told. The chassid doesn't have to be directed. Just as a son or daughter understands what a parent wants, he knows what God wants of him. So therefore it says, this is the words of the Machal of the David, Lefi Sheroi Yisrael Be'et Hidnatvam Abinyan HaBayit. David, when he saw the Jewish people when they donated to the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, Shekvar Higiu Ma'alah Hazot, he saw the Jews had reached the level of chassidut. They were acting beyond all that was required of them. His palel aleihem, he prayed for them, about them. שתקיים המידה הטובה בהם ולא תעשו, that that good measure of the ability to give, to participate, and do it with joy, should remain with them for all time. Umar Shoma, and this is what he says, Divrei Yadav in 29, further on in that chapter. Va'ato, now God, Anko, Andrew, Zapol, your people are here. Ra'iti b'simcha, I saw how with joy Litmadei Vachdei donated to you. Hashem al-Kei Afon, Yitzel Yisrael al-Tenu. Shomer Azal Solam, remember this forever. Just remember this forever. Don't forget, this is a great people. It was not honor of God to choose the Jews. He knew exactly what he was doing. L'yeitzim achzor zonecha, v'achem l'vavon elecha, establish their hearts and it always should be for you. God didn't make a mistake. Right? Now we're going to continue on where we did four. We're up to five. Maybe you don't see the number five, but if you look a little to the left-hand side of the second page, it says over there, Svideyesh, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, one of the great, great Talmidei Chachamim of the past century, was Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. He wrote four volumes of Tshuvas Svideyesh. He survived the Holocaust, and he spent the rest of his life after the Holocaust. He spent it in a little town in Switzerland called Montreux. Before that, he was one of the students who was very close to the Alter von Srapotka, the Nusser Tzvi Finkel. He was one of the luminaries of the Musa movement, but he was brilliant. He was brilliant. He became a world-recognized Torah authority. His personal life was already a little tragic. A little tragic, a lot tragic. We don't know the details. He was married in his youth for a number of months. Then there was a divorce. He never remarried afterwards. And he sat and learned Torah and wrote tremendous works until the end of his life. In that Bichala called Touching History, I mentioned Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg once, only because I mentioned him as a missed opportunity. In August of 1956, I happened to be standing on the train station in Montreux, Switzerland. I was waiting for a train. I was on my way then back from having learned in Arizona for about a year and a half. I'm on my way back, and I had to catch a train from Montreux. I don't know where it happened. I think it was to Paris. And I see it all the way at the end of the platform. I see a slightly built, very dignified looking gentleman, and he has somebody with me. Who is that? He says, that's like a Peter Yankov Weinberg. My train came, and I felt as I walked onto the train that I was missing the opportunity to just go over and say, Shalom Aleichem, one of the gedolim soil of the previous generation. And that's the way it is. There are missed opportunities in life. So I've tried to make up for it by reading his biography, reading his Shalom Tshuvas. And one of them, incidentally, this tshuva was a tshuva that I learned 40 years ago. And it was this tshuva that set me thinking on everything that I've said about the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, and we're going to see how it applies to other mitzvahs. He asks a very interesting and timely question. Purim. There's a mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. There are a number of mitzvahs on Purim. You have to hear the reading of the Megillah at night, you have to hear the reading of the Megillah in the morning. And then during the day, there are a number of other mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, And it's going to be a little touch and go this year. It's in Yerushalayim, it's Friday. In Yerushalayim, it's Friday. It's going to be a very, very busy Friday. Very busy Friday. All right. It's always interesting. I'm planning on getting out of Harnof if I can. It's not easy to get out of Harnof. I'm not necessarily so happy about what goes on. You know, maybe when I was young, 50 years ago, I could take what goes on over there. But anyway, wonderful, they're all good Jews. I love them all. Most of them. Okay. Anyway, here it is. So it's going to be Purim. So during the day, there's the mitzvah Sukkos Purim. I've already made arrangements to have my Sukkos outside of Harnof. Now, the last few years, we've been going to different children for the Sukkos. They used to all come to us, but that's not going to happen anymore. Then there's the mitzvah of Matonis Levyonim. You're supposed to give to the poor on Purim, and Mishloach Monos, we send gifts of food from one to the other. And I think here it has not yet reached the levels of the ads in Mishpacha magazine, or Mosali Ami as well, where there's this frightening, I believe, un-Toritic competition in who can make fancier and more expensive Shalach Monas. I think we should save our money for Matanis Lefyanim and give Balabatash Shalach Monas to 2-3 people and forget all the rest of the stuff, you understand? Okay. Anyway, so there's a mitzvah Mishloach Monas. Sir, Yechiel Yankov Weinberg asks, why don't we say a brach on that mitzvah? Ashek Yitzhonu, the mitzvahs of God, sanctified us with his command. He commanded us to give Mishloach Monas, even though it's a mitzvah midrabanan. But listen, we make a bracha on mitzvahs midrabanan. We make the bracha lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. We make brachas. So why don't we say a bracha on the mitzvah Mishloach Monas? See, let's take a look at that left hand side of the page. The Purim said, this Purim, Gehartia, I was thinking, the Kushat HaAchramim, the question that's asked by the latter Talmidei Chachamim, Lama ein mevorchit al Mishloach Monas? Why don't you make a bracha on Mishloach Monas? Lefitam HaRajba, Shei mevorchit al Hatzdaka, Shem Elo Yekabel, so he wants to say, well, you could possibly answer, there's a famous Rajbo. The Rajbo was one of the Rishonim. Rav Shlomo ben Aderet asked the question, why don't you make a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah? So he says, one of the answers that he gives is, because what happens if the fellow doesn't want to accept my donation? So then I would have made a bracha of atala, a bracha in vain. So maybe that's the answer here too. The fellow will say, you know, thank you very much, but you know, I really don't. Of all things, the halacha is the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says that if I send Shalach Monas to somebody and he says no, thank you, I was yaitzer. How do you like that? I can get my orange and my peanut back, and I also fulfilled the mitzvah. By Mishloach Monas, you fulfilled the mitzvah, even though the recipient didn't want to receive it. Which means, therefore, that the mitzvah is dependent on me and me alone. When a mitzvah depends, the fulfillment of my mitzvah depends on somebody else, I can't be sure that I will complete the mitzvah. But if the mitzvah depends completely on me alone, then I should be able to make a bracha there. So why can't you say, why don't we say a bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Monas? All right, so let's go down where it's on the line. Od Nidalee. there's a reason why you don't make a bracha on this of Mishloach Manos. It says, Shemishloach Manos him leharbot shalom, la'avla v'reilut. Kemosha katava hatam sofer, barachayim simikum sarakas. The purpose, there's a purpose in Mishloach Manos, to create a sense of friendship, of love, concern for one another, camaraderie. Okay? V'nei, after the chol mitzvahs, even though by all mitzvahs, God will have a tzuda v'yoseh. By all mitzvahs, the Gemara says, greater is the one who's commanded. V'tzivanu, b'mishloach manos, it's better, she'yitein v'yitzano ha'chofshi. You should give it of your own free will. If you have to say a bracha, v'tzivanu, I'm giving you this shalach manas because I'm commanded, you have, by that one word, v'tzivanu, destroyed the whole purpose of the mitzvah. The whole purpose of the mitzvah is to create a sense of friendship. Shine of friendship, this is. Listen, Habibi, I can't stand the sight of you, but I have to fulfill a mitzvah. And here's my mishloach manas. The word v'tzivanu diminishes the power of the mitzvah or the power of the gift. The power of the gift is that I want to express friendship. Let me ask you, if there would be a bracha on the mitzvah of kibud av, I'm bringing my father his glaze all the time. Wait a minute, he's waiting for the tea, and I put on my gantle, and I start saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, and came out, and I said, John, it would say so, Vitzivon. That has a time. You're giving your father a glaze of the tea because you were commanded to do so. Loses all of its meaning. There are things that have to be done for one's own free will. It was this sentence that started me on my journey through a number of other values in Torah. One, of course, being Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Not everything has to be the result of a commandment. There are good deeds you do without being commanded because you know it's good. And it's the whole atmosphere of a Torah that we're learning that creates within us an understanding of what's good and what's evil, what's chassidut and what's not chassidut. So he says, you can't make a bracha on Mishloach Manos. I should be told mitzvah of mitzvah. Give me a break. It would simply be a contradiction in terms. So it goes on. Therefore, it has to be mitoch nefesh shel ahava la'achiv ha'ivri. You have to give Mishloach Manos out of a feeling of love for your Hebrew brother. If he gives only because it's a command, humafchit mitat ha'ava, you diminish the measure of the love involved. The chayadim mitztaka, that's also the way it is by tztaka. Tztaka you should give because the poor person needs. You should be sensitive to his feelings. Not like, I don't want to give him. But listen, the Chabayishim told me to give him, so I give him. Nah! Shimon notem mitoch rachmonus, or mitoch havas Yisrael, if you give tztaka because of a feeling of compassion, or because of love of Jews, tov yoter, much better than Mimisha no Tegnito Tzivuyuk feel. Far, far better than one who gives because he's commanded or he is coerced. Okay? So this really is what set me thinking about it all. There are values in Torah that don't have to be a mitzvah. They don't have to be a mitzvah. You don't have to tell somebody, maybe they shouldn't be going to this gathering for people who are planning to go back to America. Shandan Achar Bahad. Bishinach Libra. Okay. All right. In the last paragraph, Rabbi Yechiel Yankov Weinberg adds another dimension. Va'od Nidali says another reason why you don't make a bracha on Mishloach Malach. And you know what he says? Because there's a general rule. You make a bracha only on a mitzvah that comes from time to time. In other words, I mentioned if I'm eating all the time, I keep eating apples. 24 hours a day, around the clock, I make one bracha. But since we don't do that, so you can stop between one apple and the next. So when you've had enough of apples, and then you go back and make a bracha again on the apple. A mitzvah to me, this a constant mitzvah, never requires a bracha. We don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of emunah. I believe in God. It's a mitzvah to me, this. He says the mitzvah of loving Jews is a constant mitzvah. And that's what Mishloach wants us all about. They don't make a bracha on that. Vod nidl lechadish, it seems to me, shemishloach monos of the emet mitzvah to midas v'chol ha'shona. It's a constant mitzvah all year. So what's special on Purim? On Purim, sort of, it comes the reminder that there is such a mitzvah all year. Just like the classic example. The mitzvah of destroying Amalek is a mitzvah all the time. But once a year, we read Parshat Zachor. It's a mitzvah to read it, so we remember the mitzvah. Mishloach Manos, which is based on the idea of loving all Jews, that mitzvah is constant. And on a constant mitzvah, you never make a bracha. V'rat v'purim yitzvarim l'kayen v'poal mitzvazu. Kedeshin is called the Choshana in Purim. We are commanded, in fact, to do something that expresses the mitzvah of loving Jews so that we should remember for the rest of the year. Now, if you give Shalach Manas and you don't remember that for the rest of the year because you got dead drunk on Purim, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Shalach Manas. And maybe since that's what happens, that's another reason why you don't say a bracha mishloach manos. That was my chiddush for today. I made it up on the spot. Don't take it seriously. Don't take anything I say seriously. All right. Okay. V'yadum ha'shekosu bo'orz ha'ruah. One of the Rishonim, she'mitzvi she'tamidus ve'en lo'hefzik ein b'vrach ala. A mitzvah that is constant, without let up. You don't make a bracha. You only make a bracha on a mitzvah that comes time to time. Okay. We have an end. We can go one step further on Purim, and this is good. As good as everything else that's received. Number six is a Gemara, famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. And I'm going to give you an insight into the essence of Purim. The Gemara records a series of Agadic teachings about Israel's experience at Sinai. V'yitiyatzvu b'tachtit ha'ar. The Torah says they stood at the foot of the mountain, Sinai. Omer Rabbi Avdimi Bar Choma. Rav Avdimi Bar Choma Bar Chasa, the son of Chasa, said the following. You know what we learned from the pasuk that Jews stood at the foothills of the mountain? Melamed. This comes to teach us Shekofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Et Ahar Kigis. This teaches that the Holy One, blessed be, covered them with a mountain like a barrel. Like he turned the mountain upside down over them. And listen to this, frightening. And God said to them, if you accept Torah, fine. Be a blab, and if not, there you shall be buried. Sounds pretty drastic. I can see the looks on some of your faces. So let me explain how I understand what it means. God never said to them, listen, you Jews, you better receive this Torah. If you don't receive this Torah, I'm going to bury you right here. That's not what it is. When God, for one time in history, descends from the very heavens to the top of a mountain, and for one time in history, he speaks to a people. Can you imagine? We can't even imagine what an awesome, frightening, terrifying, exhilarating, uplifting experience. There's no way that anybody could say, no, I don't want this Torah. Overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God at Sinai. Doesn't mean God said, listen, you Jews, you better take this Torah. If you don't take this Torah, this way you be. No. The experience was such. Will we have these experiences as well? Yeah. A Tata asks you to do something, he has to say, bring my glaze on tape. No, I'm not bringing it. Go get your own glaze on tape. A great person, a fine person, an able person asks you to do something, you do it. Well, we were talking about the most awesome experience that ever happened in all history. So, of course, Jews said yes. So, in that sense, they were being coerced. Even though, of course, before the experience, they had already said, Nasa Venishra, we will do it. But the experience itself was so terrifying